Hey everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Sam.
And we're the Spiteries. We started the Spiteries review series as a small Patreon side project, but it turns out that my wife is even better at podcasting than I am, so we're bringing the Spiteries review to the masses.
Starting this month, the Spiteries review will be available wherever you get your podcasts, so come and listen as Andy and I chat about the stuff we've watched and the things that we've done.
With brand new episodes every month, the Spiteries review is a peek into what life is like in the Spiteri household, and you never know when Link or Zora will make a surprise appearance.
We've even got older shows in the vault that will be rolled out over the next few months, including reviews on Mean Girls, Twilight, Spirited Away, Cowboy Bebop, and more. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like they say, happy wife equals happy life.
Ugh, you're so lame.
So help us out by joining our Discord and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. The Spiteries review is available now from SPNet. From OmegaMetroid.com. My name is Andy Spiteri, joined by a couple of our staff members that usually don't come on the show with us a whole lot. So this is a real treat here. We got Lilith back for her second week in a row, and we're also joined by Zach Gio, both members of the team that really you don't get to hear from a lot. So excited to have both of you back. Lilith, we'll get to you in one sec. Zach, what's going on, dude? It's been a long time since you've been on the show. I think since Dead Cells, is that right?
Yeah, Dead Cells was the last one we did, and it's been good. Life has been a pretty fun ride. I got married.
Congrats.
Ring's not on my finger, but it is now. Just been, you know, killing bugs. I work for pest control, enjoying life and playing video games. I'm, you know, currently playing through Super Metroid again and also getting my life shattered by Elden Ring. But, yes. You know, it's pretty good.
That's what I thought you were going to say, actually, is like, I've been killing bugs playing Elden Ring, and I was like, well, you did better than I did, so kudos to you. Lilith, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, you know, keeping on, working 4 a.m. shifts and living life. And
4 a.m., oh my god, that is just an outrageous hour.
That's normal.
You get off at work at, like, you know, before 10 o'clock. You can't beat it. You got the whole day left. It's wonderful.
That is true.
I am a creature that stays up late and would sleep in if I could. I can sleep in sometimes. Today I didn't, but if like yesterday I slept into like 10:30 and it was so awesome. But today, man, I was up at like 7 and I wasn't working today. I was like, this sucks. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Like, I'm a creature that, like, I don't know why, but, like, I've, like, always gotten up super early. So, like, working these early shifts is fantastic for me because I'm able to, like, do other things other than work. I get to go to work, come home, and do, like, whatever I want to. I mean, yeah, I have to take a nap, but whatever. That's
there
fine.
You know, it's funny, actually. We were talking last week, and I had a lot of great response to our Super Metroid show last week. And we're talking more Super Metroid today, so I'm really excited for that, but... it was funny because, like, when I was talking about, you know, one of the things that I love about Super Metroid is I wrote the walkthrough for it during the COVID lockdown. I think I wrote most of it from, like, the hours of, like, 1 to 3 a.m., like, mm-hmm. like every night. And the rest of it was maybe, like, here or there once I went back to work, actually. But that's, I don't know. The morning people, I don't understand you. I don't understand you at all.
It's an acquired taste.
It certainly is.
Yeah, I definitely have to credit my dad for that. I guess it's like genetic because he always used to be like, I don't understand. I'm always up at like 3 in the morning. And here I am up.
Yeah, that's far too early. all right. Well, like I mentioned, we actually have a lot to get into here today because our Super Metroid anniversary celebration continues. It rolls on this week, and we are of course talking today about one of the many things that Super Metroid does so well. But one thing that I think is like it does exceptionally well is its bosses, as we'll get to, because I had a heck of a time ranking these, and I'm really excited about that. However, there's a few things I want to talk about before we get there. And actually, it's ironic. Both of them are about the Alien franchise. So number one, the first thing I wanted to mention is this. Tomorrow, or actually, let me rephrase that. By the time that most people are listening to this episode, which is going to be released on Tuesday, we are going to be having this Tuesday, the 26th, our first ever Omega Metroid movie night. And, you know, what better way, what better movie, what better experience for a bunch of Metroid fans to get together with than the original, the classic, the genre-defining Ridley Scott's 1979 masterpiece, Alien. I'm pumped about that. We're going to be watching it and yeah, just hanging out in our Discord. So, one, if you are a member of our Discord, make sure that you are hanging out with us. And then two, hey, if you're a Metroid fan, you're listening to this, you're like, I need some other Metroid people in my life that I can talk about this franchise with. Come and join our Discord, hang out, talk to us in person. I don't think we're scary in person, anything like that, eh? Like I think we're pretty nice.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, okay.
I'm personally really excited because don't judge me. I've never seen it, so I'm ready for it. It's gonna be a good time.
You're gonna know, and you know what? That's perfect because like if you are a Metroid fan and you didn't know how much like Metroid borrows, let's say borrows from the Alien franchise, specifically the first two movies, you're gonna be
oh my gosh!
I'm excited.
I'm guessing like
sorry,
excuse me, but you're like big Isolation vibes. So I'm so excited.
You know, like yes and no, like it's almost like an old school slasher, almost like a monster movie that it seems like a little cliche almost now, but like at the time it was so awesome. And you just have this like unbelievable force of nature, which is the xenomorph. So I'm really excited to one, I mean, I shouldn't say rewatch. I watched it like a couple months ago, but like, and I've been watching through all the Alien movies for this podcast actually, but I'm excited to watch it with some friends. And now I'm definitely excited to watch it with people that haven't seen it before. Cause that's like, that's what it's all about, is introducing it to new fans and new people. So I'm pretty stoked about that. But the other thing I want to talk about, speaking of Alien, I'm obviously a big Alien fan. And we finally got a sneak peek trailer for Alien Romulus, which is the new Alien movie coming out this August, only in theaters. What did you get? Let me back up here. Are you guys excited about Alien Romulus? Like, are you Alien fans? Is this just me kind of like, wow, yeah. Did you see the trailer? And what do you think? Lilith, what are you thinking of that Romulus trailer?
Personally, I have not been following the Alien franchise as closely as a lot of people have, but I love Alien, and like I'm always excited to see new installments for the franchise because, I mean, I know like it was, you know, quote unquote inspired, and it's good, and I don't know, it's not my favorite, but I love it, and it's always good to see new installments. Absolutely,
I think this trailer gave me very similar vibes to like the first Alien, which yeah. I was impressed about. So Zach, did you have a chance to watch that trailer? Or because I think I mentioned that I wanted to talk about it at the start of the show. Did you check that out at all?
So I'm gonna be 100% honest. I sat down to watch it and I got distracted as I often do. And I'm a complete newbie to the entire Alien franchise. I've never seen it. I don't really know anything about it. So I'll check it out definitely after this podcast. But no, I haven't gotten the chance to look at it yet.
I would even say check it out after we watch Alien tomorrow then, because like, okay. So my thoughts when this trailer came out is number one, it looks like a horror movie, which the first Alien movie is a horror movie as well.
Oh my gosh. Totally.
And some of the, you know, I love Aliens, but that's more of an action movie than a horror movie. And Alien 3 and Resurrection kind of are somewhere in the middle, but they're not like horror movies, I would say. The sequels, or the prequels, I guess you'd call them, have their own kind of weird vibe to them as well. So this one looks like it's taking a lot of inspiration directly from the first Alien. So like, I think that's probably a good move for this trailer. And I think like, As far as I could see in that trailer, I think that there was a lot of like just cool, gory body horror kind of stuff, which again, this franchise is famous for. My only critique was that there was a shot of, I have to assume she's the main character in the movie, and she has like a gun and whatever. She looks awesome, but it was an image that invokes Ripley. And I was like, I don't know, like maybe you should just kind of leave that alone and don't invite those comparisons. Because it's probably hard to, you know, Ripley's one of the greatest characters of all time in any medium. And it's hard to come out favorably when you're comparing that, right? So, and that's why, and I don't know, a lot of people disagree, but like I love the sequels / prequels, because I think David, played by Michael Fassbender, is like one of the most fascinating characters in the series.
Oh my God. I agree.
So, I like Michael Fassbender. So
he's awesome in those movies, but he's very different from Ripley, which is why I think it works. So we'll see. Well, I think that it's, my expectations were low. I think as long as this movie is like good, I'll be happy. You know, as long as it isn't like awful, I'll be happy.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, you mentioned the whole like, oh, don't tread on Ripley thing. I've noticed that like in the community, a lot of people are like, oh, what's next for the series in Metroid? And like, are they gonna introduce a new protagonist? And like, are they gonna like do something new? And I'm just like, no.
You know what? This is probably a podcast episode unto itself, but I've kind of thrown out there before, if Metroid pulled like a Metal Gear Solid 2, I'd be okay with that. We're like, now you can have two protagonists or whatever, but we'll probably talk about this more.
Get rid of Samus, man.
Well, no, I don't think anybody wants that, but I'm all about like new characters, new stuff, you know?
I agree on that level, but I mean, you just can't get rid of, Samus.
I literally don't think you can. Like she's too important to the brand.
New stuff with slight callbacks is okay.
There you go.
There we go. So Alien Romulus looks pretty cool. I'm gonna play that trailer actually before our movie tomorrow. I have a few movies that I've taken trailers for. I'm gonna run some trailers for you guys before we start this actual movie itself. So you have to put up with all my suggestions.
No, dude, geek out, please. That's the best.
You're giving me some time to get some popcorn and drinks and stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
I might even have a trailer for our next Inspired by Metroid game that we're going to be talking about in 2 weeks. I am sure that nobody is surprised, or nobody's going to be surprised, but I'm going to play the trailer anyway. So come and hang out with us and watch the movie. That's going to be going on tomorrow at, what time do we say? 7 p.m. Mountain, so 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
8 p.m. Late night Central. Movie. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, if you only, you know, come and hang out for a little bit, you don't have to watch the whole thing, of course. It's, you know, come say hi, hang out with friends kind of thing. Okay.
I've seen that movie in a million years, so I'll be there. Yeah.
Well, here we are. We are, of course, celebrating Super Metroid, one of the greatest games ever made. To whom I love and appreciate and worship. And our celebration continues this week, and as it will for the next week after this as well. So, like I mentioned, this week we are going to be ranking the bosses of Super Metroid, and we're going to be doing it definitive style. So, for anybody that does not know what that means, this is how it's done. We are going to be using the Omega Metroid Super Metroid Boss Guide to basically get a list of bosses here, and they come in order when you face them. So we'll talk about the first two bosses. We'll rank them number one and number two. We'll talk about the third boss. That boss either goes number one, two, or three. Fourth boss gets inserted, etc., until all 10 bosses have been accounted for here. And this was hard. This is a real hard list. Like, I usually don't make lists before we do definitive rankings. I just kind of like to wing it. But this one I did just to have a little bit of an idea. And, like, I really, like, the ninth boss that I ranked, I was like, I love this fight. Like, it's so good. Like, Super Metroid really has incredible bosses. And, you know, like, duh, right? Like, it's obvious, but, like, I had a heck of a time making this list. Zach, I see you got some stats and stuff there. Like, was this an easy list to put together for you without revealing anything yet?
No, not at all. Because, all right, so I've only played this game twice, and I've only beaten it once. So my first time playing Super Metroid, if I can go on this tangent.
Of course.
It'll be brief, I promise. My first time playing Super Metroid was in 2020 when COVID hit. I was kind of banished to my room for a month, and I saw that the Wii Shop channel had it. I played it. I got all the way to Turian, got all the way to Mother Brain, and kept dying because I just straight up didn't have enough power-ups, and the Wii gamepad, Wii U gamepad is the worst thing ever created by man. And so I put it down, and fast forward 3.5 years later, it's on Nintendo Switch Online. I got it, and I started playing it again, and I was like, dude, this is one of the best 2D Metroids I've ever played, if not the best. It's on par with Fusion and Zero Mission for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so good. The movement, I love the floaty, what is it, the floaty feel of it. It's so good, dude. The Shine Spark puzzles are tough. The exploit, you feel just completely alone. But I loved the bosses, and so it was very difficult for me to pick and choose where to put this list because they're all so good. There's like one or two that kind of miss for me, but even so, I still enjoyed fighting them because you're not just fighting the boss, you're fighting the environment, and you're fighting the controls, and you're fighting your own badness at video games, or at least that's just me. So I had a really good time with this, and Super Metroid is probably in my top three as far as Metroid games go.
Well put.
It's so good.
I guess Lilith, take us through your journey putting your list together, and then we'll get to business and we'll start ranking here. Was there anything that like immediately you were like, okay, I know I'll be so my list. I was like, I know what my number one is, but after that, like.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's exactly me too. I knew what my number one was, and then I had to go through the rest of the list thinking like, okay. So I have to actually, like, I have never ranked the bosses in my brain before. I was like, and it was like, it was almost like a trial in, like, emotional pain. And it's like, as, like, goobery as that sounds, like, it's just like, oh my gosh, just going through all this.
Which of my children do I love more, you know?
Yes, exactly. It's like, what child is my favorite?
Well, there's no other way to get to it other than to get to it. So let's
get into it. Absolutely.
And what we are going to do is give out some honorable mentions as well. Specifically, the Ridley prologue battle, which is a fantastic battle. But we figured it might not be appropriate to rank it because it's not really. I mean, it's a boss battle, but it's not one that you can die from. It's not one that you can lose from. But even this like prologue battle is awesome, and it's so incredibly satisfying that even a boss battle that you are designed to lose, you can still like get a little bit of victory by in that battle by making the baby Metroid drop. And I love that. I think it's such a cool setting. The Sarah Space Station is such a cool setting. So this would be like it's such an awesome way to kick off the game, and such an awesome way to kind of get you and show you what this game is all about. And it really sets up the big rematch with Ridley later in the game, which I'm sure that we'll get to. Oh, I know that we'll get to. Speaking of Ridley, our second honorable mentions are, and Zach, you brought this up. I actually didn't think about this, but this is pretty tough. Actually, this is a pretty tough little encounter here. Is the two space pirates that guard Ridley's lair almost immediately before you fight Ridley. The gray space pirates that only turn gold when you very specifically jump over them, and then they have their moment of weakness, and they're doing flying drop kicks everywhere, like Booker T style. These guys are insane, actually. So that was a good shout out, and we should shout them out because they're not to be trifled with. They mean business.
They killed me once.
Little jerks.
Yeah, it hurt my feelings. It hurts when you die to something like that. It felt trivial, but it was not.
These gray space pirates are pretty, like, they're pretty beefy guys. Like, in Zero Mission, like, I think the space pirates at the end that guard your getaway ship are tougher than Mecha Ridley. And like,
yeah. Oh my goodness gracious, don't even get me started. Like,
one thing I love.
Last time I... Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I was going to say, one thing I love is that Super Metroid specifically with these gray space pirates, they don't feel like bullet sponges. They feel like challenges that are strategically taken down. And I hate bullet sponging. Like, that is the worst thing that video games can do. And these bosses are tough, and they don't feel like they're just taking your bullets. They feel like each step, each level of, I guess, color shifting is what you'd call it. When you get closer, it feels like a journey that you're going on in each fight. And even the gray space pirates before you fight Ridley, perfect. I love it. Well done.
Oh boy.
All right. You know what? One last little honorable mention. This isn't a boss fight, but when you fight the Super Metroid itself in Taurian, and this guy, you can actually avoid it if you're really good, but I'm not very good. He eats me every time, and this is such a spectacular moment that just adds to the final boss battle in such a spectacular way, which we'll talk about. But I wanted to shout out that little encounter as well, because that was again just like an awesome little altercation. So makes my heart flutter a little bit every time. Okay. Let's begin. Are we ready?
Ready, Freddy.
All right.
Let's do it.
We're starting off with the first boss that you encounter in Super Metroid. By the way, when I say the first boss, this is for like your average Joe Schmo, okay? We're going to be doing this in like not ultra speedrunner listing. We're just going to be following by the order that I got to them when I'm playing Super Metroid. So the first boss that we're going to be talking about is the Terrizo, who... I have to say, I quite like this boss. I think that I just love the idea of like you, the thing that is so safe in Metroid and so like every time you see it, you're like, oh yes, a Chozo statue. Yes. This boss immediately is just like, no, 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 no. You think you're safe here? You are wrong, my friend. And I love the design of the Terrizo. I love the, like, I love the arena because it feels very claustrophobic, very tight, very... And he's jumping around everywhere. And at this point in the game, you have, like, no health. But you do have a couple missiles. Yeah. And so, one, I always feel like pretty rockin' when I hit him all five times in his little chest area. And then, two, I always feel like if I miss, it's, like, it's an added element of danger as well, which... is always like a fun experience for me. Like I like kind of that element in Super Metroid. So I quite like this boss battle a lot, actually. And I would say if it weren't for the other Terrizo that you fight, this one would rank a little bit higher for me. Just by virtue of it being the first boss in the game, it's a little bit lower on my list. But I really love this boss battle. Zach, what are your thoughts?
So, it, like I said, it was difficult for me to rank these because I like all of the encounters, but actually this one's kind of a little bit lower on my list. It's the first encounter that you deal with, and yeah, you got five missiles in a dream. But he kind of slaps you around a little bit and just bam, bam in the chest a couple times, maybe land some well-placed beam shots, and you roll under him when he starts walking through the legs. I think that that's really creative, and... the arena is pretty cool. You're just in a square with a door that's locked, and you just, it's you and him in this tight little space. So for a first encounter, it does a really good job of kind of setting the tone for how the boss fights in the game are going to make you feel kind of squeezed in and claustrophobic. Because everything, no pun intended, has kind of like this super feel to it where everything is kind of zoomed in a little bit. And that's my personal take on it. But I actually ranked him near the bottom of my list. So, do you want me to say the number? Or...
Yeah, you know what? We can go ahead. So I'll tell you what. I ranked him number 9 out of 10 on my list.
That's exactly where I put him.
I have a sneaking suspicion that all three of us might have the same last place boss. But let's see if we're right. Lilith, what are your thoughts on Terrizo?
So since Super Metroid was like my like first like real like cognizant game memory, encountering Terrizo was just like, oh my gosh. So in my notes I have under here it says, quote, "you slimy MF."
Yeah.
And that, like, has been, like, my pervasive, like, feeling about this boss my entire life. And I have not been able to trust any single Chozo statue ever. So, I mean... it's not 9, it's 7 for
okay.
me.
Okay.
Because it has that kind of, like, nostalgic, like, feeling to me. And I love it so much. And I guess... I don't know. It holds a special place in my heart because, like, as a kid, as a kid, you like see that and you're like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah,
like,
and, you know, so. That's the thing about Super Metroid bosses is, like, you could have told me that this is, like, number 4 on your list, and I'd be like, "Yeah, that's great. I love this boss too." Like, it's, and that's what makes this tough, really tough.
Yeah,
you have so many heavy hitters. It's kind of hard.
You really do
rank them.
Like even the mini boss. Like, we all know about the big 4, but, like, even the mini bosses, I love. The mini-er bosses.
Let's not
disrespect them and call them mini bosses, but mini-er bosses. Yeah. All right, let's move on to our next boss encounter, Spore Spawn. So I kicked us off last time with my thoughts. I don't want to keep on juggling around here. Lilith, Spore Spawn, what do you think? Is it going above or below Chorizo, and where does it rank on your list?
Honestly, the very bottom.
Wow. Okay. I thought that we all might have the same last place battle, but maybe, I guess we don't. All right, continue.
It came down to, like, I had to put everything in the spot, and, you know, unfortunately, Spore Spawn fell in that spot, and I hate that, and it hurts. Because I love Spore Spawn too. But I mean, like, in my quotes on my, in my notes on my, like, on my ranking sheet, it says, "I'm sorry, you're basic."
I mean, you're not,
you're basic.
You're not wrong. Like, it, yeah, it is. All right.
They're from the good place. It's so good. Yeah, thanks.
Do we have any love for Spore Spawn here from you, Zach? What's going on? So we got a number 10 finish for Spore Spawn over on the Lilith side. So can I assume you would place, obviously, Spore Spawn below Chorizo. Zach, go ahead. Go. What's your Spore Spawn level like?
Dead last.
I
hate Spore Spawn. It is the only boss fight in the game that I dislike. Because it is, all right, so the music is eerie. Is that little dee, 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 dee. Like, it's creepy, but it's the worst boss music in my opinion.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not a huge fan of it.
I know that.
Okay.
All right, let the man finish here. Go ahead.
When I say the worst, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, in comparison to the others, I like it the least.
Okay.
I don't like the fight. That much, because I don't like the environment. I don't like the fact that you've got all this stuff constantly hitting you. And I guess, yes, it makes it more intense, but with how kind of stationary Spore Spawn is, you've just got the vines and you're waiting for the eye to open up. It feels kind of more of a drag than it is an intense battle. And both times that I've encountered Spore Spawn, I just wanted the fight to be over. I wasn't enjoying it at all. And it's the only battle in the game where I feel that way. And so that's why I put it at the bottom of my list. It's not horrible.
Okay.
It's compared to some other elements. Other M. Sorry. But Metroid Other M. Sorry. But it's at the bottom for me, for sure.
You know, I acted a little bit indignant at you guys placing Spore Spawn at the bottom. I have it at number 8, so it's not super high on my list either. But what I love about this fight is the music. I love the music. It's awesome, right?
Oh, absolutely. I love the music.
I can't in good conscience disagree with any of the critiques here. Like, it's a pretty simple fight. There's not much to it. And what makes it, I guess, a little bit simpler is that you can just morph ball in the corner and like you're totally fine. Mm-hmm. You might have to pop up and shoot one of his little spores, but it's kind of like a run and gun fight. Like you quickly pop up for your hits, you go right back down to the ball form, and maybe you move a little bit. But I think that the atmosphere and like the music I think really sells it for me, even though it is admittedly pretty simple. So I would have no problem in our definitive ranking putting Terrizo above Spore Spawn, which is I think how it's going to go anyway, since both of you guys have it above. So okay, well that's what the list is looking at right now. So number one Terrizo, number two Spore Spawn. Let's go ahead and let's talk about the next boss on our list. The first heavy hitter, Big Daddy Kraid, and we just did a whole Kraid episode not too long ago.
Sorry.
Yeah, this an iconic boss, really. Like Kraid's most iconic appearance, I think it would be fair to say. I had this one ranked middle of the pack, however, for me, and that's not to say that I don't like what I love about this fight is the sprite of Kraid is awesome. The environment is awesome. I love as the fight kind of continues. He uses his little belly spike gizmos as platforms. That's awesome. One thing that I don't love about this fight, actually, is when I say don't love, I like it, but I'm not in love with it, and that's the music. And I would have the same critique about the Kraid fight in Metroid Dread as well, but like, I don't know, part of me, and nobody really gets like their own theme music for boss fights yet in this game. So, I mean, like, that's fine. But part of me is just like, oh, man, it would have been so cool if it was like a intense, like, Kraid NES remix, Brinstar Depths remix or something like that. But that being said, I think that it's a great fight. It's really fun. And you can tell in the game that it's like an earlier boss fight, right? Like, it's because it's not too challenging. And I say, sometimes that works against this fight when I'm talking about like ranking Kraid fights is just like, you know, it's pretty simple. Like, and especially like one of the most famous Super Metroid tricks that you can do is like quick kill Kraid, which, I don't know. I've done a couple times here and there, but I can never do it like the pros do it. But, all of that kind of brings it down a little bit from some of the bosses that you encounter later in the game to put it middle of the pack. Like I said, I had Kraid ranked at number six, which might, I don't know, maybe that surprises some people, maybe it doesn't. Lilith, what, you're up. What do you got for old Big Daddy Kraid?
So I put him at three on my list.
Wow, okay.
A lot of my list comes from nostalgia. So I'm not sure. I'm sure anybody that has like known me for any period of time, Metroid was introduced to me through my father, and he used to call Kraid the toenail monster, and
ooh,
so
yeah.
That's an image that I don't want in my head. Jeez, that refers to those fine belly button things that come out of his. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Ugh, yeah. And no, I'm looking at the picture right now.
Exactly.
Certainly
changes
things. Anyway, go ahead. Continue. Oh boy.
Ooh.
I just heard a lot of people. Anyway,
the cuticle machine.
Regardless of the nostalgia, I appreciate the fact that, you know, it's got quote unquote two phases, and I love that. I love the fact, you know, you go from the little tiny like room to the whole thing, and it feels like a cutscene almost. The fight, even if it's not like a big like battle, it feels like almost like a cutscene fight, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a lot of that stems from nostalgia, but you know.
Hey, I mean, whatever you rank it, how you rank it, right? Like, okay, so you got it at number three. So I think it's probably fair to say on our definitive ranking list, Kraid's going to go in the number one spot for now. Zach, what about you? Where do you fall on old Big Papa Kraid here?
I have Large Father Kraid basically dead in the middle. I have him at number five. Very cool, very almost cinematic-like battle. I love how you kind of enter the room. He starts rising up and the room kind of expands. Mm-hmm. And the background feels alive. And you have to, mm-hmm. basically this fight puts your platforming skills so far to the test. And it's really cool because you have to use the weapons that you have at your disposal. There are some people that can just wipe him out instantly with well-timed super missiles and, a charge shot. I'm not ever going
to
attempt
it. You fire one missile at his eyes, and that gets him to open his mouth, and then you immediately fire three super missiles into his maw before he's even risen up. Like, it's nuts.
And doesn't it, like, break the game a little bit?
It doesn't break the game, but there's when like the best Super Metroid speedrunners do it, they're like off screen waiting for the various suit to come already. It's something. Yeah, it's something.
But I honestly, it's the first major fight of the game, and I didn't really know anything about this game until I played it for the first time. And for the Super Nintendo to be able to display a giant image of an enemy just like that, and you fighting him like head to head, it was really cool for me. And the only reason he's where he's at on the list is because there are other boss fights that just do it better later on in the game. And it kind of sets the tone for the awesome thematic images that come in later Metroid titles. And while I'm not a fan of the sound design or the music of Metroid Dread's Crate, he looks amazing.
Yeah.
And so I owe a lot of that to Super Metroid and then later on Zero Mission. So right in the middle of the pack for me, like him. Not a huge fan of the music of really any of the bosses except the Ridley fight, because I mean, it's classic Ridley theme. Sorry. But
which is funny, because that at the time in Super Metroid, that wasn't even the Ridley theme yet. That was just like a theme.
The boss theme.
Well, for me, it's for me.
For you,
Metroid, it was 2020, and so my favorite theme of all time from Metroid is Meta Ridley from Metroid Prime.
Mm-hmm.
That it was just a very intense moment, but I digress. He's middle of the pack for me, number five.
Okay, well, let's rank him at number one on our definitive list right now. So number one is Kraid, number two Terizo, number three Spore Spawn. And let's get over to our next boss encounter, Crocomire.
Yeah.
Zach, kick us off here. What are your thoughts on old Crocomire?
I love this boss simply because, to me, when I first ran into him, obviously I was a little intimidated, but he looks so goofy. And I love his design. He looks like just... I can't do it without, I guess, doing the wrong thing. But I love his four little eyes that are in like a straight line. He's just got this big mouth. It's like, ah. And I love the fight because basically it's a battle of land, I guess you could say. Like a battle of area. You have to push him back into the lava or he's going to push you back into the spikes. And if it's your first time doing it, you're still kind of getting a grip with how the game feels. It's intense because you're kind of trying to jump and shoot and make sure that you can time it right when he opens his mouth. And it's a really intense fight. And at the end, when you finally do knock him back in the lava, you think that that's it, which it is. But then you run back to the left side and his skeleton comes up and you're like, oh my God. And he then collapses and you get all the pickups and stuff. But it's really thematic and it's really cool. And I have him slightly above Kraid.
Okay.
I have him at number four on my list because I loved that fight. I thought it was really cool. He caught me off guard, especially when he came off to the left. And I really like Crocomire. It's a really cool fight.
One of the greatest, like, psych moments in the series where it's like, okay, now we got to never do phase two? Oh, no, he's dead. You know what I always think about lately when I'm thinking about Crocomire? This guy, he's minding his own business. He's in his little rut. Not hurting anybody. He's below the ground. Samus just comes into his house, and as anybody might do, they're like, what are you doing here? What are you doing in my house? And Samus just charges. Like, Samus attacks first. Yeah, like, Crocomire doesn't do anything. He's just like, what's going on here? And then defends himself, and you push this guy back into the lava, and this poor bastard, when he falls into the lava and his flesh is coming off, I just like, oh my God, I feel so bad for this poor crocodile. You know, like, it's just like this poor schmuck was sleeping in bed, and someone broke into his house and forced him into lava, and his flesh is no longer on his bones. And now he's just a big pile of skeleton bones.
You know, he was asking for it. He lives down there. Eventually, he was going to fall in.
Why are you in nothing?
It does seem like, a little bit suspect that he would be, like, residing next to a pool of lava if he was not, in fact, able to go into the lava. But nonetheless, I had him at number seven on my list.
It's a super choice.
I feel, yeah, like, it's a pretty simple battle. You know, a battle for land is a great way to put it. And it's unique. Like, there's not a lot of other boss battles like this, I don't think, in the series. So I appreciate that it brings a little bit of a different element. It again uses the claustrophobia of Super Metroid to its advantage really, really well. And I like that, yeah, you know, it's kind of Kraid-ish, but it's kind of unique as well. So it feels like almost an extension of the Kraid battle, where, like, you gotta bait Crocomire into opening its mouth, blast him in the mouth, and then that is what forces him back a little bit. So I like that as well. I had him at number 7 on my list, so below Kraid. So Lilith, you might be the tiebreaker here. Where's old Croc going on our definitive ranking list?
So for me, Crocomire is kind of one of those bosses that, like, sits in my heart, because that was, like, probably the first jump scare I ever experienced as a child.
Oh, man.
And my parents set me up for it, and I, you know, resent and love them for it to this day. I will never forget just watching the bubbles going underneath and then getting, oh, God.
Yeah, I was 24 and I still got jump scared by it.
So I was like, so that lives in my bones. So I put Crocomire at 4 on my list. Like,
4, okay.
Yeah, so I love me a Crocomire. Like, Crocomire's my boy. Like,
you know what? Again, I don't feel super strongly about, like, if you guys have Crocomire over Kraid, I'm totally fine with that in our definitive ranking. I would be good to put Crocomire at number 1 for now, above Kraid, above Chorizo, above Sporespawn. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's continue to move on. And this is where I think now we're in business. Now we got real boss fight. That's going to push you. And of course it's Fantune. This is an easy number 1 on our list so far for me right now. I have Fantune ranked at number 4 on my list of bosses overall. This is the first boss in Super Metroid where it's just like, okay, you know, the first couple bosses, they've been warming you up. They've been getting you prepared. They've been getting you ready. But now it's just like, no more hand-holding. Let's go. Yeah. And I love the sprite of Fantune. Yeah. It's awesome. I love the blue fire. I love that it's like supernatural. But the thing that I really love the most about this boss is that it doesn't want you to use your most powerful weapons, because if you do and you blast that sucker with a super missile, oh boy, this thing goes nuts. It's going left, right, up, down, backwards, forwards. It's like, holy crap, like, maybe I should just stick with missiles. And it's got that great risk reward to it, where it's like, do I chance it with the super missile and just avoid the attacks, or do I take it slow and steady, win the race? And another thing too that I never knew about this Fantune boss fight until literally I wrote the guide. I can't tell you how many times I played Super Metroid before this. I did not know if you charged up a charge shot and then jumped, you could pass through his blue fire. And I like, when I found that out, I was like, like, that makes the fight so much more manageable. Right? Like, it's really hard to dodge those attacks if you don't know that. So, like, yeah, I think that this is a fantastic, by the way, the wreck ship is awesome. Like, it's an awesome location. I love too that you fight Fantune first rather than fight him at the end of the area. So it feels like Fantune is like the cause of everything being messed up in the wreck ship, because it is. And you know what? Say what you will about Other M, but this is one thing that they did right, is the Fantune boss fight.
I was thinking it, but like, I was like, do I say it?
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh. And the fact that he's part of the epilogue and you have to come back to get Adam's helmet. But it's such a cool fight. It's so good. Ugh.
Yeah, I love Fantune. I love that fight. I love this fight. This is one I would push for number 1 on our list so far. I don't know if we're going to have a ton of disagreement on this or not, but Lilith, take us away. Where's Fantune on your list?
I don't have as much love for Fantune as you do. Oh. Only because to this day, I still suffer with this boss, and like I have played this game to the nth degree, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like some kind of skill issue or some kind of mental block.
Give it to us straight here, horse. Where's Fantoon on your list? Nine? Oh my god. Jeez, please. That is tough.
Oh, emotional damage.
Emotional damage.
I'm starting to think I don't know you at all. Fantoon at number 9. All right, Zach. What do you before we move on? So Lilith, where would you literally on our definitive ranking or put him last, like below Spore Spawn?
No, not before Spore Spawn, not at all. Before Spore Spawn, not after Spore Spawn. Like all right. Spore Spawn's like, you know, like I said, useless. But
Zach, what do you think for Fantoon so far?
Fantoon.
Where are we ranking Fantoon?
For me, Fantoon is number one of the ones we've done so far. He's number 3 on my list, man. He's like my third favorite fight. There's only 2 fights in this game that I put above Fantoon. Fantoon is wicked, man. I played Super Metroid well after I played Other M, and Other M, my favorite fight was Fantoon because it's so cool how this creature can phase in and out of reality just to fight you and whip these blue fire balls and these blue eyes at you. And I popped him with a super missile, and he started freaking out and going left and right. I had died so many times fighting this guy, but I loved it every single time I came back. And so he's number 3 on my list. He's way up there. I'm so sorry, Lilith, but
No, that's exactly why he's like so far down on my list, is because like to this day, I still have such a hard time.
It's a hard boss. Like it's a difficult boss.
I don't know what it is. It's just like
So I love Metroid like with my whole heart, but there are a lot of things about the series that I wish could be tuned a little bit, like the difficulty. For me, most Metroid games I can kind of go through without a problem, but Super Metroid taught me how to be like patient. And taught me how to like work with what I've got and not get my ass kicked. Yeah. And so I love Fantoon so much. It was a great fight. First time I was like, whoa, this is awesome. The wreck ship is my favorite area in the game. It's wicked. And just the setting is so good. And because you're pretty decked out at that point. You've got super missiles. You've got power bombs. You've got the grapple beam. But really, you're just forced to face him with your beam. And just if you're daring, a super missile. So he's number 3 for me, for sure. Way up there.
So, you know, and it's funny, actually, that we mentioned Fantoon and Other M. It's funny how, like, of the 2 Super Metroid bosses that you fight in Other M, how one of them was so great and one of them just went the total other way. Like, it's funny how that happened. But I'm going to do a little bit of politicking here. So this is what I propose. Tell me what you agree. Tell me what you think of this, Lilith. I propose that we put Fantoon at number 1 on our list so far, but we owe Lilith a favor. So at a later point, if there is a boss that you feel strongly about either going up or going down, with maybe one exception that I would fight for, that's my proposal to you. Or we could put him at number 2 below Crocomire, although that would hurt my heart to be.
That would hurt my heart. I second the motion, but
what do you think about that, Lilith?
I will take your first proposition.
Okay. So now we owe you one, though, which could be deadly. It could be very dangerous. So we have, Zach, we better tread carefully here. Let's go to our next boss. Okay. When I was putting together my list, I was so sure. I'm like, Zach, Lilith, you know, Doom if he was here, Dak if he was here. I bet you we all have the same last place boss, because there's one boss that's like just not as quite as cool as the others. And I was so confident about that. And I put Botwoon at dead last. Like, cause I listen, it's a fun fight. It's fun. But like it's a little bit more like annoying than the other fights, because like you've got the stupid head, and there's four holes that the head pops out of, and you got to nail him in his head, and he speeds up as the fight progresses. And it's like I said, it's a fun fight. I'm not gonna say that it's not, but yeah, I was so sure that like all of us are gonna be like, yeah, Bot Wound, he's not like this one is just kind of like eh. But here we are. It's got to be like at least 7 or 8 or higher than that on your guys' list so far. I feel like it's number 10. It's 10 out of 10 on my list, and that's not a good thing this time. 10 out of 10 is bad. So we'll see what. Zach, you look like you have something to say. Where does Bot Wound rank on your list?
Bot Wound is number 7 for me. I don't hate this fight, but I have him ranked above the Teresa statue. I like this fight. I think it's interesting because it reminds me of, I think it's Link's Awakening. There's a little boss that you have to fight where the creature like pokes its head out of the wall and you have to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it reminded me of, and I really liked this fight because it kind of made me feel nostalgic. But it's annoying, and it's not exactly my preference, and so it's kind of like lower middle of the pack. And what was funny to me is I knew for a fact that you were going to put Bot Wound at the bottom. I knew, and before you said it, I thought it was like Batwoon, and I'm so glad that it's
it might be. I don't know. In my headcanon, I always just like, it's time for old Bot Wound.
Somebody was writing the word between, and it auto-corrected and put O's where the E should be, and they were like, you know what? That's good. Let's make that his name.
I bet you anything, it's probably Batwoon, and someone's going to be like, well, it's Batwoon, actually, not Batwoon.
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 I guarantee, as God is my witness, somebody is going to say that. I bet you that's the only... the one feedback we'll get on this show is it's Batwoon.
Excuse me, it's Batwoon.
Well, I put him at the bottom of my list. I'm sorry.
Badum tis.
Okay, well, number 7. You know what? I can accept number 7. Lilith, I'm scared to ask. Where's Bot Wound on your list?
I'm offended. No, I'm just kidding.
She's going to catch in her favor here. I guarantee it. It's going to be Bot Wound at number 2.
Bot Wound was like second to the bottom for me.
Okay.
Only because it's one of like the smaller bosses. And, you know, at the end of the day, I had to try and like decide what I loved the most. But I loved the fight. I didn't love the fight. I loved like the lead up to the fight. I loved the grapple. I loved, you know, the mock droids. The fight, you know, is whatever. It's cool. And it's, you know, a giant snake. And everyone loves a giant snake. But, you know.
Yeah. I played a Super Metroid ROM hack. And I can't remember which one it was. I think it might have been Super Metroid Ascent. And I will give credit where credit is due. The Bot Wound fight was awesome in that game. Because instead of what they did was it was submerged. There was like a thin layer of water, so your movement was really obstructed, and it made the fight a lot more challenging. So, you know, I think maybe if that was in this game, that could have been something that's pretty cool, especially because you're like right about to get the gravity suit, or no, you already have the gravity suit at this point. But like, I don't know, something else to maybe spice it up just a little bit. But yeah, I put Bot Wound at the bottom. So now the question is this: Where is Bot Wound on our list here? So the current list as follows is this. In number 5, we have Spore Spawn. Number 4, Terrizo. Number 3, Kraid. Number 4, Crocomire. Number 2, Crocomire. Number 1, Fantoon. So I think maybe as a compromise, I could suggest that Bot Wound goes above Spore Spawn. That sound okay?
I'm okay with that. Okay with that.
Like, I think that's like right in the middle of all of us.
Yeah. I'm so okay with that because I hate
absolutely.
Okay. Let's continue then. Let's meet Bot Wound's older sister, Dragon. I got to say, this Dragon sprite is so awesome. I love the sprite, and it is criminal that we have not seen another version of Dragon ever come back. Because I think, like, you bring that back and like you throw in like some other, like, integrate the grapple portion of it into the actual boss battle itself and don't have it as like kind of a cheat code. I think that could be really, really awesome. So I kicked us off last time, but Lilith, go ahead. Where are you at with Dragon?
Dragon is one of my favorite bosses. And I was going to say not from a nostalgia standpoint, but no, it's purely from a nostalgia standpoint because of the special cheat, special kill. I mean, like I said in the last episode, like that was like one of the things like I told my dad. I'm like, look, I know how to beat him. I can beat him, and I did, and. You know, I remember hearing rumors that Dragon was going to be in Dread, and it didn't happen, and I was so upset. Like, I'm just like, oh my god, no! Like, they had so much opportunity.
They had the little silhouette there in Dairon.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, it's just like, and you know, just the whole, like, the whole vibe with that entire chamber that that boss battle takes place in, it's just so good, and it's just, I don't know. I love the Dragon fight. Dragon's one of my favorite bosses. Absolutely.
All right. Where is it at on your list?
Two.
I love it. I have Dragon at number three on my list. So I'm right with you. I love this fight. And I'll tell you what. So I love the fight one because of the quick kill that you can do, which I think everybody takes advantage of in this fight. But to bring it back once again to when I was writing the guide for Super Metroid, I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this properly, what I need to do is offer a way to beat Dragon with the quick kill, but also offer a way to beat Dragon without it. Mm-hmm. And I have like a whole new respect for Dragon. If you do not use the quick kill, this fight is tough.
A pain.
It's tough. Yeah. If Dragon picks you up, like, you're pooched, because it beats the hell out of you. Like, and it smacks and smacks and smacks and smacks you, and it's like, and then it pile drives you to the bottom, and it's like, holy crap. And it's really easy to get picked up, too, because of all those, like, sticky webs and whatever. Like, I think that most of us, when we do the Dragon fight, we're kind of just biding our time until we see that electrical thing that's popped off, and we can be like, okay, pick me up, and then I'm going to lasso you into this and electrocute you. But I just really appreciate the fight for, I guess, how it was maybe intended to be. Because it's really, really, really difficult. And yeah, I love the arena. The music is cool here. And I know I already talked about the sprite of Dragon. But, like, look, next time you see a Dragon, look at the eye. It's like this crazy maniacal eye with like red like stuff going on. It looks awesome. It looks so good. Yeah. And then when you beat Dragon, it's like you immediately feel so sad because you see all the little mini Dragons posing around its mama, and it's just like,
Oh, I'm sorry, I killed your mom.
And then they start Dragon him down to the bottom. Rest in peace,
Dragon.
Rest in pieces.
Finish us off here, Zach. What say you about Dragon?
He is number four on my list. Okay. I really enjoyed the fight, but my only holdup is that he beat my ass so many times because it's a hard fight. I never knew about the quick kill, so I killed him the traditional way, and it. Don't worry, I'm going back through it, so I'll utilize that this time. But it's a really fun fight for all the reasons that you guys mentioned. You pretty much hit every nail on the head. The environment's super cool. The webs kind of mess you up, and it's easy to be picked up. And his maniacal bloodshot eye is super creepy. And I love the sprite. The design is awesome. And him swooping left to right, stabbing you with the tail. It's or her chance because, you know, little mama, little baby Dragons. But yeah, it's number four, upper middle.
I agree. This is, and I think that everybody should experience this fight like without the quick kill once. Like beat Dragon once the regular way, you will have that appreciation.
The painful way.
So Lilith, if you had Dragon at number two, and I had Dragon at number three, and Zach, you had it at number four, I think that probably means that it's going above Fantoon in our list, right? Because I have it above Fantoon, you have it above Fantoon, Lilith, and you have it just below, I think, right?
Yeah. I'm totally cool with that. No problems here.
All right. So let's recap really quick because we're about to get to the heavies here. So number one, Dragon. Number two, Fantoon. Number three, Crocomire. Number four, Kraid. Number five, Chorizo. Number six, Batwoon. And number 7, Spore Spawn. Let's go. Okay, let's go to our next boss fight. And I'm going to kick us off on this boss fight because I was tempted to rank it even higher than I did. But Golden Chorizo, I ranked it at number 5. But I love this boss. This is like one of my like favorite boss fights in the game. And I almost am wondering if I should have ranked Fantoon like at number 5 and Golden Chorizo at number 4. Maybe I'll pull an audible here. But like, this fight is just so awesome, like, for so many reasons. Number one, like, everything you were saying earlier, Lilith, about, like, the Chorizo just holding a special place, I totally agree. I love that this one comes back and it's souped up. I love the sprite is awesome. It's even cooler now that it's gold. It looks awesome. I love that the thing just falls on you. Like, you're not expecting it, and it just, like, boop, just falls right on your head.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's so awesome. This one is even more frantic than the last Chorizo, and your arena is much bigger. So, like, there's jumping, there's throwing, and, man, when you try and missile the Chorizo, when it just catches your super missile, is so awesome. It's just like...
I have that in my notes. Oh, my God.
The Chorizo looks like such a badass when he does that, and it's just like, I love this fight. And you've got almost full utility at this fight, too. So, like, you're space jumping around, you got your plasmas. This is, like, a pretty... intense boss fight. So I really like this boss fight, and I think that this is like the most underrated fight in Super Metroid. Like, obviously we all love Ridley, we all love Mother Brain, we all love Dragon, Fantoon, etc., but like, I don't think enough people talk about Golden Chorizo as being like one of the best boss fights in the game, because I really think that it is. It's like, it's so fun, and I really, really look forward to it every time. And this thing is guarding your ultimate power up here. Like, you get the screw attack immediately after, mm-hmm. and then it's business time. And then you're on the path. So, I'm going to pull an audible here. I had Fantoon at number 4 and Golden Chorizo at number 5. I'm going to switch that. I'm going to put Golden Chorizo at number 4 and Fantoon at number 5. Am I the only champion here for Golden Chorizo? I feel like I was prepared to be, and I'm fine if I am. I will fight for Golden Chorizo a little bit, but, you know, maybe not to the death. But Lilith, thoughts?
I love Golden Chorizo. Yeah. Honestly, that's one of the other, like, poor memories in my brain. It's just it falling onto you. And, like, in my notes, I have, quote, this jerk just threw a super missile back at me. Like... I will never forget that. Like, honestly, just having it throw it back, you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, who do you think you are? Like,
just like, just cool. It's a cool move, you know?
It's just so unbelievably badass. Like, ugh. Yeah, I love it.
All right, where is Golden Chorizo on your ranking?
I have it on 6.
Okay. I feel like I'm prepared for a bomb here from Zach, because he's wincing here. Like I said, I was prepared to be the only defender of Golden Chorizo. 6 isn't too bad. What are we working with here, Zach? What say you?
All right, so I'm going to pull an audible here as well. Golden Chorizo was towards the bottom of my list. I had him at 8. But okay. After reminiscing, and I completely forgot about him grabbing the super missile and throwing it back at you, because it is extremely badass, especially for Super Nintendo. Like, come on, Nintendo, you didn't have to go that hard. So I'm going to switch him with Batwoon. I had Batwoon at number 7, and I had Golden Chorizo Quesadilla at number 8, and I'm going to switch them. I'm sorry. Every time we've said Chorizo, I've heard Chorizo.
Chorizo.
So I'm switching those. I'm going to put Golden Chorizo at number 7 and Batwoon at number 8. Still an incredibly fun boss fight, but it's just, for me, repetition brings it down a little bit. Yes, it's a bigger, stronger, faster version of something you've already fought before. And while it's really cool, and it's an upgrade, and it's a much harder fight, It's repetition, you know? And if it's done right, it's fun, but it's not fun enough to beat out other unique bosses that have appeared once.
I respect that. I do. So. And like I said, I was prepared to be the defender of Golden Chorizo. I don't think it's up there on most people's, like, favorite lists or bosses in Super Metroid. But So taking a look at our list right now, I think that we could all agree this fight goes above Chorizo, right? The regular Chorizo. Mm-hmm. And Chorizo is one, two, three, four, fifth on our list. So really the question is, does Golden Chorizo go above Kraid or Krokemeyer? I would say yes. However, I know Lilith, you had Kraid pretty high. And even Zach, you had Kraid at number six, which is above Golden Chorizo. Give it to me straight, guys. Lilith, you can cash in your favor here if you want, but where is Golden Chorizo going on our list?
I'm not going to cash in the favor here, but
let's put it more simply. Does this go above Kraid or below Kraid?
Below.
Zach, what do you think?
Below
it is. All right.
I'm sorry. This is Kraid's first giant appearance, and he's such a heavy hitter, man. I can't in good conscience put Golden Chorizo above Kraid. I can't. I'm sorry.
I never thought I'd say I miss Dak and Doom, but here I am. No, actually, I don't miss Dak or Doom. All right, so this is our list we got going on so far. Number one is Dragon. Number two is Fantoon. Number three is Krokemeyer. Number four is Kraid. Number five, Golden Chorizo. Number six, regular old Chorizo. Number seven, Botwoon. And number eight, Sporespawn. I'm sure that those two schmucks would have had my boy Golden Chorizo at like number 10 just to spite me. So this definitely is an upgrade. All right. We're here. We are here. It's finally time to talk about the greatest boss fight in the Metroid series. I am definitively saying it. Super Metroid Ridley is number one on my list. I think it's the best fight in the series. This fight is so unbelievable for so many reasons. First, the buildup. Outside, you know, after you get to the guards, it's like you're in this little fiery temple and like the music is pulsating. It starts pounding and pounding as you get closer. The fire rises up. You get to the room and you're like, what's going on? There's nothing here. There's no one here. But you know that you're about to throw down with Ridley because you see the Ridley statues everywhere. It's got this aura about it, this big fight feel that is made even better by one, the fact that you've already encountered Ridley at the very beginning of the game. And number two, the fact that you see the broken glass from the baby Metroid laying around. And then the fight begins, and holy crap. I know, Zach, you said that you didn't love Bullet Sponge bosses. And I don't really either. However, this is the exception. Because
I was going to say that, yeah.
This is like a Haas fight. Like it just two big bastards going at each other. And I love the fact that like other than the tail, you can hit Ridley wherever you want. Like, and you know, pretty much every time I play Super Metroid now, I go for like a full 100%. And I'm pretty much at this point in the game, I have like maybe a couple missile expansions left to get. And so I go in with 50 super missiles, like 200 plus regular missiles, a bunch of power bombs. And like, you can nail Ridley with 50 super missiles, 200 missiles, and he's still alive and kicking. But it doesn't feel cheap because it's just like, it's so frantic, it's so crazy, it's so intense that it's just like, it really is. It's like a wrestling match where like two like big people are just pounding each other and pounding each other. Like, it's so good. This is the greatest boss fight in the series. I'm putting it down here right now. Somebody cut me off before I keep going. Zach, go ahead.
I agree and I disagree with you. I put Ridley at number two. Now, here's the thing. It is neck and neck with the last boss that we're going to talk about for one very simple reason. I love the last boss that we're going to talk about, but this fight with Ridley is epic because you jump in there, everything that Andy talked about, the broken glass, you see the buildup, the Ridley statues, everything, and it's a downright slugfest with the creature that killed your parents. The creature that invaded your home and wiped everything out.
Yes.
And you are just in there for revenge. Screw all other. This is my favorite Ridley fight in the series. It just is. I love Meta Ridley because of the music, but this is my favorite Ridley fight in the series because you're just going to town on each other. You're just fighting, duking it out until there's only one left standing. And then it's that final push towards the end of the game. I think that this fight is just beautifully executed, extremely well done. It doesn't feel like a bullet sponge because you're fighting your nemesis, and he is going to fight to his very last breath. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is really, really well executed. His sprite is sick. I love the design of Ridley. I've always loved the design of Ridley. And it's just, it's epic. It's such a really good final showdown with this guy. And honestly, I wouldn't have been sad if that's where they had stopped Ridley. Like, if that had been his finale.
Worth noting, too.
They should have stopped it.
Yeah. Every other, what we know of Ridley is based off Super Metroid Ridley, like the pogo attack, the design, the fireballs, like all of that. Like, go look at the concept art for Ridley and Nestroid. Like, that's not Ridley. This is Ridley, and this is. I know we'll probably disagree because I'm with you. I love the final boss fight, which we'll get to in a second. I think it's absolutely incredible, but this one I think just edges it for me just because it's more of like a fight. It's more of a fight where. Where the last boss fight is more of like wrapping up the story. Like this is like your true final boss of the game. Like if you beat Ridley, you will have no problem beating the game. And it's the ultimate like skill check test. And I love it. And there's just something about like you can just like the frantic nature of it. Like it's that like that I guess the damage sponginess of it, but it's like there's something so satisfying about like it just seems like this big, hulking, intimidating monster that's like, you know, takes it. If you can kill it, it's like, man, you have earned that. Like, it's so awesome. Lilith, what do you got here? Are you with me or are you Team Zach? Are we number one or number two?
I'm neither. I love Ridley. I love the narrative. I love the fight, and I just don't think he's that big of a problem, that much of a fun fight. I'm of the like, yeah, you can shoot him a bunch of times and like cool, and then he dies. Like I don't know, maybe that comes from the fact that I have seen him in so many iterations over time that I'm just like over it.
This is not the Zelda cast, but that was an Elden hot take right there.
That's tough.
That's a very hot take.
Keep going.
Now I'm nervous.
No, you're good. Give it to us straight.
No, I'm just kidding. I love Ridley. I've loved Ridley since I was a kid. I mean, I was one of those kids that used to like write fanfics about Ridley. Like, so this isn't like I hate Ridley, I hate the fight, I hate the design, but it's just it's what I have on my list is, quote, this was a long time coming. Like it's just like it this was a fight that was destined to happen. This needed to happen. They were gonna fight, and you know, it wasn't like it was destined. Like, I don't know. Like, and so it wasn't like some like crazy thing. So it's just, you know, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Where does it rank on your list?
You're probably going to crucify me, but 8.
Oh my God. That is crazy. So like what specifically about this fight do you not like?
It's not that I don't like the fight. So the way that I ranked the bosses was like, for me, the way I ranked it was like nostalgia and the way that it like hit me emotionally, I guess. And I guess like, I just kind of hate Ridley a lot. So.
Okay. Yep. You should smash him with super missiles.
You know, so.
You get revenge.
Yeah, but I mean, she's been getting revenge for,
Oh, all right. That breaks my heart. I'm sorry. I cannot believe that. That's okay. Jeez, this throws a wrench into things here, doesn't it, Zach?
A little bit.
I would. I would push for Ridley as number one on our list, clearly, for what we've got so far here. I think it's like worlds better.
I would push for it to be above what we have at the top right now, but not number one.
I agree.
I think that's kind of where we're headed here. I cannot believe eight.
Bot Moon!
Higher than Ridley! What's happening here? Oh boy. Let's get to the final boss. You know what? I can appreciate though. Like in all seriousness, like we rank him on our own criteria, right? And like how a boss makes you feel is how you should rank it. And like because it hits for me, that doesn't mean it hits for you, right? So like I think that's totally valid. Just we're having some fun, of course, but like just wanted to throw that out there into the universe. Because if you, the listener, are also just like, this Ridley fight, that's totally cool. Like that's totally, you know, how it works. So let's bring it home. We have one final boss fight. And you know, actually on OmegaMetroid.com on our walkthrough, I didn't include the classic Mother Brain portion where like Mother Brain is in a tank or anything like that, but it's probably worth mentioning too. That particular part for me doesn't hit as well as like the Zero Mission version of that altercation. But it's still pretty fun, and it's also not as challenging as the Nestroid version as well. So that one for me is kind of like I kind of just want to get on with it, kind of a thing here. But I do love when Mother Brain rises and turns into like this crazy mechanical dinosaur thing, and yep. I mean it's great. It's like the music is awesome. Now I do think that the fight is easy, like really easy, especially after Ridley. So I will say that, but. Maybe the greatest story battle in the series, right? Like it's
for sure.
When you get hit by the murder beam and you're down to like one HP or whatever and Mother Brain is ramping up to do it again, you're just like, I remember my first time playing it, I was like, I can't move! And then when the Super Metroid comes in and just takes the Mother Brain by the brain and sucks the life out and then powers Samus up. God, that was awesome. And then, of course, like, you go right from that emotional high to the devastating lows when Mother Brain destroys the Super Metroid, which is, like, a crushing moment. I think the Baby Metroid is, like, one of the low-key greatest characters in the series, like honestly speaking. So this is a... Like, from a story perspective, I think it's a masterpiece of a fight. From an actual boss battle mechanic, I think it's okay. But, like, the story here is really what sells it. I have it at number two on my list.
So, do you want me to go?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, I put this at number one specifically for its story element. There's not a whole lot of story with Super Metroid. You have the beginning, where it's the Ceres, right? Ceres Station.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're on the Ceres Station. You're going to see what's going on with the Baby Metroid, Ridley. You battle it out with Ridley. And then you head back down to Planet Zebes. And that's mm-hmm. it. You explore, take on bosses. And you run into the Baby Metroid at the end of the game. You're exploring Taurian, running all the way down. And this giant Metroid comes out and attacks you. And right before it takes all of your health, it realizes, oh, this is Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And he lets you go. He lets you go. And he just kind of, I guess he goes away in shame, or the Baby Metroid goes away in shame. And then the Mother Brain fight hit a little harder because the first time I faced Mother Brain was Zero Mission. And that fight I struggled with quite a lot. And I died just getting to Mother Brain in that area so many times. And I faced that same challenge when I got there in Super Metroid. And at first, I was a little bummed that it was the exact same setup. But then, once you defeat the tank version of Mother Brain and she starts rising out of the ground, I felt something that I had not felt playing video games for a long time. And that was a genuine, like, tiny little twinge of fear. I was like, ooh. Oh, crap. And she starts, because I had never seen any videos. I'd never seen her fight. I didn't know anything about the end of this game. I'd never seen any videos or walkthroughs, nothing. And so I had no idea. And say what you will about Other M, the opening cinematic when she's taking on Mother Brain and Other M is one of the most beautiful things in Metroid. That's awesome. And this is where that came from, and I loved it. And I'm a huge story guy. And so the fact that you're literally on, Andy, you already said it, the fact that you're literally on your last leg about to face death after getting hit with the murder beam, the baby Metroid comes in and literally gives its life to give you that final shot to survive, and it gives you the hyper beam, and you just wail on Mother Brain until she's gone. And then you escape, and like a boss, you rescue the animals and get out of there. And I love the ending of Super Metroid so much. It's the greatest ending in the series for me. I really, really enjoyed it. And the fight with Mother Brain is just so over the top. It's one of my favorites in the series. And so I put it at number one on my list because it's not the hardest thing in the world. It is if you don't have all the power-ups, because I figured that out the hard way the first time I played it. But the second time, it's just it's a cinematic masterpiece for what the Super Nintendo was able to do. And I really appreciated it. I love the fight. It's very intense. And once you're at the end, once you do it, congratulations, you've finally beaten Super Metroid, which is, I believe, what you put in the guide at the very bottom. Yeah, you've beaten Super Metroid. So I love it. It's easy top for me, number one.
I didn't have it at number one, but I agree with everything you said. Like, this is a masterclass of storytelling.
It's one of the few fights where I would force storytelling being a part of its ranking, because it's just so well done.
All right, Lilith, bring us home. What are your thoughts on this, and where did this rank on your list? I think there's only one spot left on your list. I think I know where it might rank.
Yeah, this is going to be number one. I mean, come on, dude. Come on.
I'm not here to argue against Mother Brain number one. This is, like I said, this is a masterclass.
We got Mother Brain. We got the baby. We got everything. Like, come on. We got the hyper. Like, come on. Like, legitimately. Like you said, it's a masterclass of storytelling. And it's one of those things. Games today, They try to propose this narrative, or they try and go with this like extensive gameplay to tell a story, and it doesn't need to do that. Look at that! Like I don't even have the words to describe like just how masterful it was. Like I just taking you through the emotions, and he said it all perfectly. Like I there's nothing else I can really add. Like, honestly, it's
one of the greatest like endings to like the final boss, I think, can like really make or break your game to a certain extent. And I think Metroid Fusion did a really good job of kind of taking the same thing as well, and like implementing the story in it. But I don't think that like Zero Mission, for example, like that's a great game, but the final boss I thought was so lackluster that it was like, Whereas this is like, you've already experienced this incredible, incredible game, and you have this final boss, and it's just like, holy moly, like this is unbelievable.
Absolutely. For real.
I've always been a huge fan of final bosses that provide a challenge, but cinematically arc out the game. Like, I'm okay with it beating my tail into the ground over and over, but I like a story element being added to it, and I think that Super Metroid does it better than most video games, period.
Absolutely.
Because it's not shoving a ton of story in your face, but it's giving you just enough to leave you very happy with what's going on, and I just love it. It's my number one fight in probably the whole series. It's so good.
That boss fight, that narrative of the bot, like the narrative of Super Metroid in general, ignited my love for just storytelling in general, like and storytelling without it being just like super obvious, like just like, oh yes, this is a story I'm telling. And it's just I think
Metroid works best when like the gameplay is like, it's not a cutscene, it's interwoven into like the action. And this is like the ultimate example of that. I think
They're not telling you this is the story that's happening.
It's kind of like how you're still free to move around the room while Mother Brain is charging up that beam. And it's kind of like you can move back and forth, but you're helpless. She's gonna
you cannot escape.
Drive you up against the wall, and she literally pushes you into the wall and drags you up and is draining your life. And it's a
terrifying moment too, when after the Super Metroid has suckled away all of Mother Brain's life juice there, when she starts to like respawn, and you're like, oh no. Like, oh okay. No.
There's nothing. You're literally helpless, and you're going to watch the baby Metroid just get annihilated. And it's very sad.
On camera. Sad.
Yeah, yep. It is devastating. So I got Allison to play this on like a year or two ago. She's like, she was mad at me. She's like, she messaged me at like 3 a.m. or so. She's like, why did you tell me about the baby Metroid or the ending battle or whatever she said. And I was like, hey, man, that's one of like the best endings ever. I couldn't spoil that for you.
It is.
All right.
Good ending.
Oh, you, I'm sorry.
So this is what we got. So is it fair to say, so I had it ranked number 2 on my list. It's number 1 on your list. Fair to say this is number 1, taking us home.
Yeah.
This is the final list that we have come up with, definitively ranking our battles here. So let's start from the last place. So number 10, we've got Spore Spawn. In at number 9, we've got Botwoon. Number 8, we've got Chorizo. Number 7, Golden Chorizo. Number 6, Kraid. Number 5, Crocomire. Number 4, Fantoon. Number 3, Dragon. Number 2, Ridley. And number 1, Mother Brain. Not a bad list. That's pretty close to mine, actually. You swap number 1, number 2, and maybe like raise up Golden Chorizo. That's pretty on point with mine.
I'm still in pain from your placing Ridley at 8, but it's okay. It's all right.
It's a
trauma thing. Let's go with that.
It's all good. It's all good. We I'm sure we have a lot of people that are going to have a lot of different rankings, and we would love to know what those rankings are, by the way. So let us know over on Discord, which, by the way, since we're about to enter plug in here, you can come and watch a movie with us tomorrow. It's tomorrow right now, but it'll be today when you're listening to this. So coming out with us tonight. All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for our definitive ranking here. Let's do a little bit of plugging before we get out of here. And Zach, we'll start with you because you also have a new podcast of your own.
Yeah.
It's not new.
Yeah, I've been doing it since about 2020. My buddy Ash and I do a podcast called Collateral Gaming Video Game Podcast. And the slogan is the only video game podcast that matters, which in hindsight is probably not the greatest slogan. But
thanks.
Yeah, we've been doing it for about 3 years. And actually, fun fact, the first episode that I did on Collateral Gaming was talking about the Metroid Prime trilogy, because my buddy Ash on Facebook found out that I was a huge Metroid fan and he was dying to talk about it. And he invited me on an episode, and we've been basically best friends ever since. So, Collateral Gaming Video Game Podcast and Cinema. We have Collateral Cinema Podcast as well. It's basically wherever you can find, or wherever you want to find your podcast. Apple Music, Spotify, Podbean, whatever you want to do. Right. So, it'd be awesome if you guys want to come give us a shout, give us a review. It's a good time. I've been doing it for a long time, and I'll probably do it until I despawn.
Until you despawn. There you go. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yep.
Love that.
All right, Lilith, where can people check you out online?
I just can't say Twitter anymore. It's what, X?
I say Twitter. It's going to be Twitter to me until I despawn.
I was going to say, I will never call it X. It's Twitter at Lilith with 3 L's.
Rock on. And I'm going to pick up because you served me a softball there, so I'll hit it out of the park. So speaking of where you can get your podcast, make sure to like and subscribe to Omega Metroid. And in fact, these two faces that are with me right now are going to be on your next couple of episodes of the Great Metroid Area Ranking, which is our Patreon exclusive show. Check it out over on patreon.com/SPNet. We got some doozies this month, actually. We're going to be talking about Doomseye from Federation Force, which might not seem like that big of an interesting area to talk about, but if you've played the game and know the final boss, you're going to want to listen to this episode. So come in and hang out with us there over on Patreon. And yeah, like I said, rate, review, recommend, subscribe, all that fun stuff. If you got a Metroid fan in your life, tell them where they can get their weekly Metroid fix. Check out OmegaMetroid.com. That's, if you're struggling with some of these bosses on Super Metroid, go and pull up our boss guide and see, like, hey, you could quick kill Dragon? What? I didn't know that. And that'll make your life a lot easier, I guarantee it. And we got maps, we got news, we got the whole podcast archive there as well, so go check that out. And lastly, yeah, give us all a follow over on Twitter and Blue Sky, at OmegaMetroidPod, at Spateri316, at Lilith with 3 L's. And then at Mr. _Gio with a T. at the end. So yeah, just give us a follow there. I think, my friends, that is it. That is all. We are going to get out of here. But the Super Metroid anniversary celebration continues next week. We're not done talking about Ridley because we are going to be talking about Norfair, and I'm super, super stoked for that. So make sure that everybody is tuning in for that. So until then, everybody, have a great week and hope to see you watching some Alien with us. Until then.